This interview with Andrew Fielding was recorded for the Dursingham 2000 History Project on the 24th of September 1997. Please may I have your full name?
Yeah, my full name is Andrew Paul Herbert Fielding.
And do you have a nickname that you prefer?
No, I don't have one. Everyone just calls me Andrew.
When did you first come to Dursingham?
I first came to Dursingham in 1967. At that time, I was working at the hospital in King's Lynn, and I was approached by Dr. Shaw, who was the Dursingham doctor at that time, asking if I'd like to come into partnership in Dursingham. He asked me if I wanted general practice, and I said, well, yes, I do, but not at this stage. And he said, well, we want a new partner, and we're going to ask you to come have a meal with us, but come anyway. And my wife and I came, and we saw things, and we decided there and then that, yes, this was right for us. So we moved at the end of October 1967, and I started in the surgery on November the 1st that same year.
Now, of course, in those days, there wasn't the lovely purpose-built surgery that we have now. Would you like to tell us something about what it was like then?
Yes, at that stage, the surgery was more or less a small bungalow in Bank Road, which had just two rooms. One was a waiting room, which you walked straight into, and the other was a consulting room. There was no examination room, no toilet, no anything like that. It was just the two rooms.
And only one doctor in there at a time?
Just one doctor at a time and no receptionist.
So the doctor had to do everything?
The doctor had to do everything. He had to come and call the next patient through.
Now, where do you live now?
I live in Dursingham, obviously, 24 Station Road.
Now, in those days also, there really was just Station Road, wasn't there, going down to the station?
That's right.
Can you remember much about that?
Yes. There were just a few houses on Valley Rise off to the right. I think about 10 houses when we moved in. But the end of 10 houses was just a grassland or field.
And Mr. The builder was then building houses down there, I believe.
He was, yes. Yeah.
And were the trains running?
The trains were running when we moved in, yes.
Right. What other members of your family live in Dursingham?
Just my wife at the moment. It was just two of us living in this house. That's all.
Because you did bring up your family here.
We did, yes. We've had three children, but they've all left the nest.
Yes, this happens so often.
Yes, one is married. Last year.
Right. What are your earliest memories of the village? Now, you must have lots.
My earliest memories of the village, basically, were what a lovely, quiet place. And everybody seemed so friendly. You just seemed to know everybody because, basically, it was a small village. But moving into Dursingham, I think our first memory was the very first night we were here. We found it difficult to sleep because it was so quiet. We had lived in King's Lynn on London Road at the time when they were doing some, I think it was gas work, and outside the flat where we lived, there was an uneven manhole cover, and all through the night, these heavy lorries came, and it was bump. And one just wondered if it was an accident each time. And it was just so quiet here, we found it hard to settle at night.
And can you remember how, were things different at the clinic? Did people have different sorts of health problems than they do now, would you say?
I suppose they did. It's difficult to think back over 30 years, but the basic medical problems must have been the same, but perhaps they weren't diagnosed to the same extent in the same way they're diagnosed today.
I mean, would it be more aches and pains rather than all this sort of mental therapy things?
Yeah, I suppose it was, yes.
So it was much more simple?
Much more simple, yeah.
Thank you. Have you ever belonged to any clubs or organisations?
Clubs and organisations, I think no. What we have been members of were the Methodist Church when we moved into the village, because we were in the Methodist Church in King's Lynn before we moved. And during that time we also attended the midweek fellowship, the vicarage, midweek on a Wednesday. But I suppose after about 12 years or something like that, we left the Methodist Church because we just felt it was right at that time to do that. And it was strange that three or four other couples had also left their churches, and we came together because we felt it was right, and we formed, in fact, a fellowship in the village, which we call the Vine Christian Fellowship. And we started meeting in our house, in our front room, but we then found that people were finding it difficult to come, as it were, to church in somebody's house. And we looked for a hall in the village, and it just happened to be at that time the Foresters' Hall was available. So we started meeting in the Foresters' Hall on a Sunday morning. We also had times of showing midweek film sessions for us and anybody else who wanted to come along. But there came a time in the Foresters' Hall when it was a little bit too small for us, because there was just the main room and a room at the back. And the children we had for Sunday school would find it hard to fit into that room at the back. So I looked around the village, and the Youth and Community Centre was available at that stage. So we moved into there from whatever time it was.
Could you tell us a little bit about the Vine Fellowship? I mean, in what way is it different from, say, going to church?
I suppose the basic difference is that it's very informal. We don't have a sort of set pattern or liturgy. We don't have pews behind each other. When we met in the Foresters' Hall and again in the community centre, we used chairs which were around in a circle, actually, so that we could in fact see each other. Some people find that difficult, because it's nice to hide behind somebody and the few behind in church.
This eye-to-eye contact.
Yes, yeah. But we found it important to be able to see each other, to talk to each other, and be, if you like, a bit more direct and personal.
So it's not so much a formal structure.
That's right.
But you do pray?
We do pray, we do sing choruses, we do have a sermon, yes.
So someone has to be brave and start the note off in the hymns, or do you have a...
No, we had a guitar and a keyboard. Very nice. There was always someone, so always music there, yes.
And how many people would you say belong now?
Well, we started off with, I say, three or four families of us, perhaps 10 people. It grew up and down a bit over the years, and we've had as many as 30-odd, approaching 40 at times. But we found that people, for reasons not under their own control, have moved from the village, employment, other things, and so our numbers have dropped gradually. And eventually, going back probably 5 years now, 4 or 5 years, the numbers dropped to the level that it was not a viable proposition to meet in a big hall like the community centre. So we came back to meeting in our own house here. And, you know, up to 10 or a dozen people was a comfortable number. Even as many as few as 5 or 6 was comfortable.
So you've almost gone full circle now.
That's
from
right.
Your house,
yes.
Back to your house.
Yes. In fact, I'll go on for that. We have gone even further than that, because we felt it, the Sunday morning was not the best time to meet, because we thought if we met midweek and not on a Sunday, we were then free to go to other churches if we wanted to on a Sunday morning.
Yes.
And now we have become, as it were, a prayer fellowship, and we meet every Tuesday evening at 7:30 at our house, purely as a prayer fellowship to pray.
Now, what was the most important day you've ever spent in the village?
It's a difficult question to spring on somebody, is that? But I suppose the most important day has got to be my very first day in the surgery on November the 1st, 1967, when I took the plunge of actually being there, having people come with their problems and having to find a solution for them.
So, where you'd been practising before in King's Lynn?
At the hospital.
Ah,
not
right.
In general practice, no, in hospital.
So this was first general practice?
That's right.
Where
yeah.
You were completely alone?
That's right. And there was no trainee work then. It was straight in at the deep end in general practice.
Now, it's a long time to think back, but yeah. Can you remember anything particular about that day?
Well, I can, because a lady came to see me and that said, well, not, it may not have been the first day, it was certainly the first few days. She scalded her arm, and we obviously had to dress it, and she kept coming back to see me. And in fact, she remembers that. She's now in her 90s, and I still see her at intervals as a friend in the village.
So you obviously did the right thing.
That's right, yes.
The thing I can remember was, because the doctor just popped out and called the next person in, and nobody booked us in, and there were no sort of bookings, you had to be very honest about where you came. You know, you if you were the third person in and somebody else came in after you, you had to be prepared to say, oh, I was next.
That's right, we just said, next one, please.
Yes, and you didn't know, did you?
No.
Who was the next one?
No.
You've never had anybody fighting
on it. Not that I can remember, no. No.
Right. Now, which was the worst time you can remember?
The worst time? Well, a very sad time was when the station actually closed, railway station. When we moved in, there was the regular train service, and we said, yeah, we must go sometime into King's Lynn on the train. We never made it before the station closed, so that was a sad time, yes.
So you regretted that?
We regretted that, yes. Another sad and bad time was going back 3 or 4 years. Our garden here, we had 3 or 4 inches of water in a good part of the back garden through most of the winter. I had to investigate that, and in fact, down the side of our garden there is a dike which takes the water from the main road, station road. It goes down through our garden, through the next garden and the next garden, and then eventually it goes out, I suppose, into the sea. But in our deeds, we have to keep that dike open. And it turned out that some people further down the line hadn't kept their dike open. So water was coming from Station Road through our garden and not being able to get out, and so was flooding back into our garden. I got the NRA onto this, and they soon sorted it out.
So they cleared the dike, did they?
They didn't clear it, they can't. They can just tell people to clear it. They've no authority to clear it themselves.
And did people clear their dike?
They did. I won't tell you where the blockage was.
No.
It was embarrassing. But the people at fault did clear it, and there's been no trouble since. Yeah.
Good. So those are your worst...
Those are the worst things
worst
I can remember,
things.
Yes.
Right. Now, what are the biggest changes you've seen in these years?
The biggest changes over 30 years? I've got to think of the increased building in the village over that time. Houses and estates. As I say, when we moved in, there were just 10 houses down Valley Rise. There are now, I would think, I don't know, 100 or so must be?
Probably yes.
Yes. There were more houses built down Station Road as well.
Yes.
Now off to the left we have Mountbatten Road and all the off-roads there going through to the main road at the other end. So houses and estates, yes. The other big thing is the bypass, because the traffic doesn't come through Dursingham now. To get to Hunstanton, it goes along the bypass. And it's much easier to get out onto the main road here. The other thing, of course, is the traffic lights. Now, those were put in by the builder at the time because he was told he couldn't do any more building because of the amount of traffic until the traffic lights at the end of the road. And he had paid for those himself,
yes,
to get his building progressing.
And a real godsend they've been.
Absolutely, yes. The other thing, of course, through the time is, change the village, is the new surgery. The Bank Road is now reverted to a dwelling place, and we have a brand new surgery in, I don't know the name of the road now.
Well, it's certainly alongside the primary.
Saxon Way, that's right. And that was opened in 1985.
Would it be on the site of Lloyd Pratt's?
I gather it was, yes. Or very close to it anyway.
Yes.
Or part of it was.
Because I believe all of those grounds belong to the Lloyd Pratt's property that was burnt down.
Well, as far as I know, yes. But I can't go into detail about that.
No. Now, all this house building, how has it affected the work of the doctors around here?
Well, it's obviously increased the workload tremendously. I think when we moved into Dursingham, there were about just over 2,000 people, that's nearer 2,500 people. We're now nearly double that population. So obviously the workload has increased tremendously. The new surgery, of course, is run by appointment, which does make it easier.
Yes, yes. And there are how many doctors now?
In the practice, I think there are now 7.
Where there used to be
when
2.
When I started, there were 2. I joined as the 3rd. There were 3 partners. The senior one retired, and I came in at the bottom. So the 3 partners. Then we moved to 4, to 5, to 6. Then I had to retire to Real Health. And then I crept up to 7.
But is the area they have to cover much bigger?
Probably not, no. Because when I joined, we were Dursingham, going back to Wolfers and Babbingley. There was then Inglethorpe, Snettisham, with Ringstead and Sedgeford. There was Snettisham, Hunstanton, Snettisham, Heacham, Hunstanton, and even beyond there, Holme. Patients in there, you know, and now they've clamped down. We don't go beyond Heacham at one end and Dursingham the other, as far as I'm aware.
So you say that when there were half as many people, there were only 2 doctors, and now there's twice as many people, we have up to 7 doctors. So yeah, it seems as if you actually had to work a lot harder in those days.
Yeah, there were 3 doctors, still not 2 to start with, but I think the hours were longer, yes, but I enjoyed it. I mean, often I didn't finish surgery till 7:30 or 8 at night. That doesn't happen these days.
No, that's right.
But I enjoyed it. I even do a visit on the way home after surgery, but I enjoyed it.
Do you think there's any, I mean, have we more or less come to a full stop now with the building, would you say?
I think so. I do not think there's much more building land in Dursingham left.
There's the bit out, down, going down towards the bypass.
Yes.
Which is already spoken for.
That's right, there's this new estate planned.
Yes.
But beyond that, I don't think, to best of my knowledge, there is any more land available.
So a lot of us will be very pleased.
Yes, yeah. Other changes in the village, I've just wanted to more. There's been a library since I came to live here, which has been a godsend for some people. Also, the Dun Cow, the landmark for Dursingham, is now Budgeons, which is quite different. The other change in the village is the loss of a high street bank that used to be Barclays initially, but now there isn't. There's a, whatever the bank is, through the post office now, but and also there's been a tremendous growth in the garden centre, Thaxter's Garden Centre.
Yes, of
since
course.
Then Rankin's amalgamated.
Yes.
There's a big garden centre which is very widely patronised.
It is, and since they've opened that lovely little cafe,
yes,
that's something else we can be pleased
yeah,
with.
Yeah, I must go and inspect that sometime.
Very good, very good. Right. Now, a tricky one. What would you like to see happen in the village in the future?
It may sound negative, I think it's positive. First thing I think is no more growth.
This is exactly what everybody else
yeah,
has said.
But I think, bearing in mind the lack of land, there's unlikely to be further growth.
Why do people not want the village to grow bigger? Because surely there would be more jobs for people.
Yes, but there's no more land, is there?
No.
I'm not sure there would be that many more jobs as well, because a lot of the jobs are not in the village, but in Kingsland and Brandon Place, where people commute.
So it's not a question of this not in my backyard. It's all to do with the fact that, we, geographically speaking, there is nowhere else to go.
That's what, as far as I'm aware, yeah, as far as I see it, yes. But as far as growth is concerned, I would like to see further growth together of the churches in Dursingham. There's an Anglican, Methodist and Catholic at the moment, and there is a togetherness to a degree, but I'd like to see further growth together of that over the years, and I'd like to see, arising from that, growth of a definite Christian community.
Now, what sort of ideas do you mean by the growth? You mean that, for example, at least once a fortnight there is a communal service?
No, I think I'd like to see the people getting into closer contact and friendship and fellowship with each other, rather than saying I'm Methodist, I'm Anglican, yes. I'm this, that and the other.
Right.
This does happen because we have these united services or joint services once a month at the moment. And there is a growing closeness of people, yes. But I'd like to see a further growth, even without wearing denominational badges. Just a growth of a Christian community,
yes.
Rather than a church community, if you
yes.
understand that. You
yes.
may not do.
Yes. Yes, I do. Anything else? They're the main things you've thought about.
They're the main things I've thought about, yes.
Now, do you intend to retire in Dursingham?
Difficult one to answer, as I retired in 1988 because of ill health.
Yes, but we still see you as comparatively young.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm still fairly active as much as I'm able to. I've had MS, I may as well mention it, for about 25 years.
Yes.
It was diagnosed in about 1972 or something like that. And since that time, I worked as a GP in the practice. I suppose I did find it increasingly difficult as the years went on. But 1987, it was pointed out to me that I wasn't doing things I used to be doing. And that was only because I wasn't physically able to do them. It was difficult to walk up people's driveways, difficult to climb, it was impossible to climb their stairs. And the sensible thing was to retire at that stage.
Yes.
In retirement, I've still kept fairly active doing things.
And you've become a sort of village personality who can be seen around the village.
That's right.
In your wheelchair.
Not so much a wheelchair, it's a scooter, actually.
In a scooter, right. Yes. And you are able to talk
to people,
to
see people,
people
in the street, yes. Much better than by car, because you drive past people in a car.
That's right, yes. So you can go on now into your proper retirement. In this village, quite happily.
That's right, yes, and I intend to.
Good. So, which leads us on to the next question. Do you expect to be buried in the village?
Not as such, no, because my aim is to be cremated.
But your remains will be in the village? Or around the village? You don't intend to go off to somewhere else?
No, I expect to be cremated at Mintlin and my ashes scattered there, unless somebody else has other ideas.
Because were you actually, do you come from around this area, or did you come from away?
No, I was born in Lancashire in Bolton. I went to school in Bolton, and so my father, who was a bank manager, was moved to Long Eaton near Nottingham. Then from there I went to university. He moved on in retirement to retired at Sidmouth in Devon. But I'm from Lancashire by birth, yes.
But you don't want your ashes to go back to Lancashire?
I can't see any reason why they should.
No. So this is really your home?
Yes.
What does the millennium mean to you?
That's the year 2000, isn't
yes.
it? I suppose in many ways, what it means to me is that in that year 2000, it will be 2000 years since the birth of Christ. And in many ways, it doesn't mean more to me than that.
No, not in the point of view of the history of the world or anything like that.
No. The main thing is 2000 years since the birth,
since
of,
the
Christ.
Birth of Christ,
yes.
Finally, what would you like to say to someone in Dursingham if you were alive in 100 years' time?
Difficult to know that. But perhaps the main thing I hope I'd like to be able to say to someone in 100 years' time is just welcome to this village.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it is a friendly village.
That's right, yes. And we're pleased to see you.
Yes. Would you say it's a village that people tend to retire into?
It seems to be, yes.
Why do you think that is? Why, I mean, people come from London and so on.
Well, basically, compared with London, it's in the country.
Yes.
It's a quiet place. They're away from the rat race. And you need the seaside as well, I suppose.
Yes, and it seems to be...
And near Sandringham.
Of course.
Of course, yes.
And would you say it's a healthy place, thinking back to the doctoring work you've done?
I think so, yes. Yeah, and we all have coughs and colds and snuffles and infectious
yes.
diseases, but I think from what you're talking about, yes, a healthy place.
So you'd recommend it to anybody?
I think so, yes. Yeah.
Right, thank you very much.